Thank you, Hannah. I should have called you when I was working on the sermon. That would have helped me a lot. Let's see if we can do this. We used to do this every Sunday. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
All right. That made me feel better. Our Old Testament lesson today is from this 19th chapter, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. And our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter, reading verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at a place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' When they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Here we are at Palm Sunday, and we've seen it so many times before. We've seen the palms, and y'all know what we use the palms for after we're finished with them? We burn them, and that's the ashes, right? That's the ashes for Ash Wednesday next Lent. But, you know, there is this kind of thing. It's like this pageantry and everything, but what difference does it make? You know, is this relevant for anything that we're dealing with? We're all, you know, kind of struggling in different ways. Some of us are struggling with sickness. Some of us are struggling with just where to go. You're a senior in college, and what are you going to do next? What happens now? What happens with your job? What's going to happen with our finances? We're all struggling with different things, and there's this little parade with palms. And how do you bring those together? If you think back to previous Palm Sundays, this is my fourth here at Trinity. And I remember, I really don't remember the 2019 that much, except for I think I sang the song from Jesus Christ Superstar, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And then the one that I remember really was 20, because we had just gotten shut down. We were preaching for the first time to an empty sanctuary, and I took that phrase, "Go to the village ahead of you." That was after visiting my mom, who says she felt sorry for me, because what else? There's nothing new in this parable, this story that you can preach on anymore other than, but I found that, and I found something today too. And then last year, I think, Tanner, you preached on Palm Sunday because I was gone. And it was our last Sunday locked down because Easter, the next day, we were in the white tent out there. It was our first time gathering together. But, you know, if you think back on where you were for those Sundays and where your life is now and what you see that God is using you, God is changing things, and we only saw a little bit of it then, you know. We only saw a little bit of what God's plan was for us, and now we go this many years later, it's like, wow, God had a much bigger plan than I knew at the time. And I think that is what we need to focus on, because even today, you know, that song, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I always thought it was really great because the lamp at your feet shows you just the next step and the roots and the stones that you need to not stumble over. And the light to the path is like, it kind of goes that way, but you don't have all the detail. And so that's kind of the way God's plan works for us. And I think what I'm seeing in this story today is God's plan for us. You know, we can only see a part of it, but have you ever had a moment in your life when you go, God, what are you doing? What are you doing in my life right now? And I was trying to think, my last time I remember this really well was my last Palm Sunday. I was in my sixth year at a church, Gum Creek Presbyterian Church, in Oxford, Georgia. And I had been a ordained minister for 12 years at that point. And I was my whole kind of career path, I was thinking was, you know, I had gone an associate pastor for 6 years at Conyers Press, and then solo pastor for 6 years. And it was like, this is the next step, is the big steeple, right? The next to the big church, that senior head of staff, executive type pastor. And I thought that was where I was going. And that spring, I recorded an album in a studio in Atlanta with a lot of help from my friends like Jack Miller, who guided me to this really nice studio, and I could go there in their off hours and pay a very low price and still get a great recording done. And it was that, my life, I've told you before, has always been that struggle between the music side and the ministry side. And how do you marry those two things? And so here I am, and this is Palm Sunday in April. And I remember my dad had just visited and had offered me a job at the family business in Laurel Hill. And I'm in Georgia. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? I mean, I'm ready to be the pastor, you know, and I went to seminary. I went to 4 years. What is your plan? God, what are you doing in my life? And I've now produced this the best CD I've ever made. What's going to happen with that? And I was so confused, and I was looking for, but there are those moments where we only see part of God's plan, but God has a bigger plan. And I want you to kind of relate to that right now before we get into this thing. What is that for you right now in your life? Is it with your job, you know, with your kids, with your school, you know, graduating, whatever it is, what is God's plan and how much of it do you see? Because we want to see the whole thing, right? We want to know exactly. We want the lamp at my feet to be the same thing as the light in my path. I want to see everything. And we just don't get to see that. So what might Christ be asking you to do right now that you don't fully understand? Think about that. What might Christ be asking you to do right now that you don't fully understand? And I want to start with in the text, just that 30th verse, when he sends the disciples and said, go into a village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find tied there a colt that has never been ridden, and untie it and bring it here. And if the Lord asks you, if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it. Now, what is that? You know, I've kind of always thought it was kind of code that Jesus had set up with these guys, like, that when somebody comes, I need to borrow your colt. So here's the password. They'll say the Lord needs it. And so, you know, that's, and maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But it's interesting when he says the Lord's needs it, because I always thought it said, like, that they thought that Jesus needed it, right? But if you look at Jesus, and especially in the Gospel of Luke, but really everywhere in all the Gospels, Jesus never refers to himself as Lord. He never refers to himself as the Lord. And he never is trying to get people to call him Lord. But here it is, he says, the Lord needs it. And you know, you think of Jesus, does Jesus need anything really? You know, he's not a needy person. You know, I mean, we all have met needy people. I used to be really attracted to girls who were needy and had a really needy girlfriend. And I liked it because then they needed me, right? And so it's very attractive because they need me and I can answer all that. But then I just realized it wore me out. And so then I stopped being attracted to needy women. But Jesus was never needy, right? And he, you know, the only time you see Jesus, at the woman in the well story, John 4, he is thirsty. He's thirsty. And one of the things I just realized, I kind of thought it over, and he says, give me something to drink. She never gave him anything to drink. Did you realize that? That whole story, he never got anything to drink in that story. And that's why it's the only time you can ever hear Jesus needs something is he needs something to drink. So Jesus doesn't need much. And this says the Lord needs it. I'm not sure it's referring to Jesus. And so the thought I had was, could this be Jesus is referring not to himself, but to his Father, that the Lord, that he would call our Father, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord needs it, that God needs it, that God needs this for some reason. And so what it meant is that Jesus was trying, even with Palm Sunday, to be obedient, because God had a plan for that day. God had a plan for something he wanted. And so the disciples, they're, as usual, clueless. And they go up and just, you know, say what Jesus said. The Lord needs it. But the cult was something that God the Father needed to fulfill God's plan that day. And so what would that be? Well, a lot, even in Matthew, who used the same sources that Luke, he actually quotes this. Luke just refers to it. But Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud." This sounds like Handel's Messiah, doesn't it? Rejoice, rejoice. "Shout aloud, Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." And that had been taught for years, believe it or not, about the humble Messiah coming on the colt. That the Messiah is going to come on the colt, but not as this victorious warrior on a white steed with a sword, but humble and on a colt. And that had been taught, but you know, when they were oppressed by the Romans, there's this other version the Messiah took over, which is the powerful Messiah that's going to liberate us. It's going to be, it'd be like the Ukrainians right now wanting to find some supernatural thing to liberate them from this oppression by the Russian government. And so that became the victorious war hero Messiah. And even Jesus had to contradict that when Peter figures it out and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the Blessed." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, for you figured it out." And then he starts telling him the Son of God must suffer. And Peter's feeling all puffed up and kind of like a student. And he goes, "Oh, no, no, Lord, you got that wrong. You know, you're not going to die. You're not going to suffer. You're going to make other people die and suffer. You're the Messiah." And he goes, "Get behind me, Satan." Because it's this other understanding of Messiah as the humble, suffering servant, the sacrifice for our sins that Jesus knew. And so everybody had heard that passage. And so there it was from Zechariah 9:9. And it says, verse 37, that the multitude of disciples started cheering Jesus. So that's more, it's not just 12. There are 12 with the inner circle, but there were lots of disciples of Jesus, and they were there. And so verse 37, and he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. You remember glory to God in the highest, where that you ever heard that before? Second chapter of Luke. Angels, right? The angels appeared. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. So Luke's kind of got this bracket here in his gospel. And they're saying glory to God in the highest. And they're saying it so loud that some Pharisees there are getting worried that there's going to be trouble. That the Romans are going to hear about it. They're going to think it's an insurrection. It's going to be trouble. And they tell Jesus to make the people be quiet. Teacher, order your disciples to stop. And then Jesus says this incredibly weird thing. I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. What does that mean? Now, this is way before Mick Jagger and those stones. They're not shouting out. The very stones would shout out. And that's why I put in this thing, Psalm 19, where it says, the heavens are telling the glory of God. The heavens are telling the glory. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. It's like if we don't say it, it's going to be said by nature. And sometimes it is said by nature. And sometimes God's praises happen without our help, without humans. I don't know if you've ever been fishing on a lake at night, like a bass lake. Good time to bass fish. They're nocturnal feeders. And if you go there and there's not a moon, it's a beautiful dark night and you're fishing, all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, all the frogs start croaking. It's really loud. It'll be quiet 1 second, and then all of a sudden they go, rah, 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 rah. And you think, what are they saying? Somebody, I mean, how did they know all to start at the same time? Why did that start? The heavens are proclaiming the glory of God. There are some mornings where the birds sing. They're absolutely deafening. The birds are chirping and singing so loud when you walk outside and think, wow, listen to that. I noticed at one time at Kingfisher, we were doing a falconry exhibition, and they had a peregrine falcon. And a peregrine falcon is the fastest animal on the planet. It can hit speeds of 200 miles an hour, and it eats other birds. That's what its main prey are other birds. And so we were out in this field, and there were birds chirping everywhere until we brought that peregrine out, and then it got whoosh. It got so quiet, man. That peregrine, they were like, ooh, no wind. But birds singing, so that's proclaiming God's glory. Wind howling up there in my mountain house, man, when the wind's coming, sounds like, ooh, it sounds like Surrender Dorothy sometimes. I mean, it's really, really loud up there. But that was just such an interesting thing. Jesus said that if these people be quiet, the stones would shout out, not just kind of mumble, shout out. And so what that means is, this is what God needed. And it was going to happen. It's going to happen. And you, if they don't say it, the stones will say it. But God wants it to happen. It's going to happen. And, you know, I mean, that's why we start with God is good all the time. Because the wind, it's going to happen. No one will stop it. And there's some things that just need to be shouted. And this was one of them. Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. So Jesus is headed to the cross on Friday, this Friday. But today, God wants to celebrate God's Son, God's incredible, obedient Son who has done so many good things and been absolutely obedient. God wanted to celebrate that. God needed to celebrate that. So back to the story, the disciples get to the colt and they say, the Lord needs this. And they bring it. You know, and sometimes, you know, those disciples didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know why. They just were obedient. Sometimes we don't get to know why as much as we want. God gives us a little bit. God gives us a lamp to our feet. But it's enough just to be obedient. You know, and Paul says in Corinthians, we know in part. And that's kind of human life. We know in part. Whatever you're dealing with, you know, that day, that Palm Sunday, when I was so confused about what my path was, God wanted me to go into music, it turned out. And for 10 years, I traveled and was a speaker at youth conferences and did music. And I didn't get to go to the big, tall steeple, but it changed the way I preached. You know, walking into a room of teenagers, it's tough stuff. But whatever it is for you, if you're sick and you go, God, what are you doing? If you got financial trouble, God, what are you doing? The answer of this parable is, if you're sick, God has a plan. If you're in financial trouble, God has a plan. If you're looking at your college career, looking at what you're going to major in, or if you're at the end of college and wondering what you're going to do, God has a plan. And we don't get to see it all. We get to see a little bit of it. But God has a plan. God's plan is so big and so amazing that we really can't know it all. That day, I couldn't have handled it that day if I'd known everything. All I knew was that I'd made this great album and I thought I was supposed to be a pastor and I didn't get it. And yet God had a much more complex and amazing plan for me than I could have handled at that moment. And that's what's happening today. You see part of it. You see part of it. And God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But you're not going to see all of it today. And so what Palm Sunday is, it's not just a little parade. Palm Sunday is shouting, God is in control. God is in control. And God's going to do things that God wants. Even without our help, the stones are going to cry out if we don't cry out. God's going to do some stuff. It's not just up to us. God's going to do some stuff that's going to make things happen in our lives. And we can see it looking backwards. We can't see it looking forwards. If you're suddenly alone right now, God has a plan. We don't know everything. We don't know why. But God has a plan. I'm going to quote, I mentioned last time this really great app called D365. You know, I encourage you to download it. It has a little devotion for every day. And I look at it for sermon stuff, and I found a good one. It's by a woman pastor, Courtney Jones Willis. She's a woman pastor of a Baptist church in Greensboro, turns out. And she said this, and I'm going to close with this. Have you ever been told to do something, and when you asked why, your parent or teacher said, because I said so? That doesn't feel like the best reason to do something, but it usually means you should do it anyway. In the life of Jesus, he very rarely told his disciples to do something because I said so. He usually gave them an explanation of why they should do as he instructed them. But in today's passage, Jesus tells two of his disciples to get a colt and bring it to him. He tells his friends that if anyone asks why they are doing that, they should say, because the Lord needs it. Jesus asks his disciples to do something even though they don't know why. They don't yet know the purpose. But Jesus hasn't led them astray so far, so he invites the disciples to trust him and do as he says. And then this is the final line. What might Christ be asking you to do right now that you don't fully understand? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we like to know everything. We like to be well informed. We like to make our decisions based on lots of evidence. And that works a lot of the time, but yet, God, you call us to trust you, to trust what we can only see a part of. Help us to believe and trust that you do have a plan for our lives, and that as we look to you, we will follow, and that your will is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen.